From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Today we'll speak with the author of The Allure of Immortality. It's a recently published book profiling the Koreshans, a now extinct celibate communal group that settled in southwest Florida. They believed we live inside a hollow earth. The book follows the Koreshans from their start in Chicago to their eventual settlement in Estero. Plus, hordes of the Walking Dead will once again converge on downtown Fort Myers for the 9th annual ZombieCon. We'll take a look at the event, which continues to grow each year. We'll also explore the rich history and subtext of the zombie genre and why zombies remain such a cultural phenomenon. That's ahead. First, this news.
Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. The streets of downtown Fort Myers will once again be invaded by hordes of the Walking Dead as ZombieCon returns for its 9th consecutive year this Saturday, October 17th. ZombieCon has steadily grown from a few hundred people its inaugural year to now anticipating a crowd of thousands. This year's theme, Fallout 1985, pays homage to horror director George Romero's 1985 film Day of the Dead, which includes scenes shot in downtown Fort Myers, and celebrates the 30th anniversary of the film. In addition to the simple fun of dressing up as zombies, participants can enjoy entertainment, including a dark art show and live performances at 5 different venues downtown. Similar ZombieCon events have been growing in popularity around the world, and the whole zombie genre itself has become something of a cultural phenomenon. In addition to classic horror films like Romero's Day of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, and Dawn of the Dead, we see the zombie treatment in such films as World War Z, the Resident Evil films, and literally hundreds of others. Zombies have even lurched their way into classic literature with a 2009 parody of Jane Austen's 1813 novel Pride and Prejudice called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which has been adapted into a film set for release next year. And it's not just for adults. This Halloween, zombie costumes are also expected to be especially popular. Yahoo Parenting ranked zombies the 7th most popular Halloween costume for kids and 4th most popular costume for adults this year. Meanwhile, the AMC Network's hit television program The Walking Dead has continued to grow its audience each season to become the number one Sunday night program, even topping NBC's Sunday Night Football. And the show's spinoff series, Fear the Walking Dead, recently ended its first season as the highest rated first season in cable history, according to Nielsen. What's behind the cultural fascination, and what's at the heart of our fascination with the zombie genre? Joining me now is Janet DeMarco. She's the founder of Fort Myers ZombieCon, as well as founder of the nonprofit charitable organization Pushing Daisies Incorporated. She's also a musician and educator here in Fort Myers. Janet, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, great. And we're also speaking with Penn State English professor Dr. Peter Dendel. He also teaches courses on the monstrous in film, folklore, and society. His publications include volumes 1 and 2 of the Zombie Movie Encyclopedia. Dr. Peter Dendel, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thanks very much for having me.
And I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. What do you think it is about zombies that keeps us coming back for more? Connect with our guests with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or join our live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Janet, let's begin with you. First of all, tell us about the meaning behind this year's theme, 1985 Fallout. What's the story here?
Well, figure 1985, the button got pushed and everything basically froze in time. They saw the zombie virus come in and the panic button went off with the nuclear weapons, not necessarily the biohazard. That's why you're seeing the Fallout symbol everywhere. And so it's one part 1985 party, so 80s party theme. So we expect to see a lot of 80s fashion. And then one part nuclear holocaust, you know.
Of course. I always put those two together when I hear.
So it's kind of like we're in the movie The Day of the Dead. We're in the movie with the scene.
The opening sequence shot.
Right, of course. Yeah. Yes.
And I know many locals appeared as extras in Romero's film. Do you know if many of those folks are still in the area? Do they participate in ZombieCon still?
Yes, they do. And actually, on Friday night, we have a premature burial party, which is happening at the Sidney and Byrne Davis Art Center. We are celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Day of the Dead. We have some local extras that are going to come and talk about their experience. And we'll be showing clips of the film. And we'll also be talking about the film contest that we have coming up as well.
And that's in collaboration with the Fort Myers Film Festival?
Yes, correct. The overall winner of that will be played at the Fort Myers Film Fest.
Well, excellent, excellent. Yeah. And, you know, I understand there's going to be live performances throughout the event, five different venues downtown. What types of performances? What can you tell us about
that? Well, there are actually stages that we have set up. We have five stages set up throughout the city. We have streets closed, so it's a giant amount of real estate that we've taken up to have our zombies. And we have everything from actually the FGCU dancers to we have Strange Arrangement playing, Simple Jack. We've got the Bargain Bin Heroes, Free Coasters, and a whole bunch of bands, and then many live DJs as well.
And I know in zombie cons of years past, there's been, you know, acting zombie workshops and zombie makeup workshops.
We've partnered with a couple of the schools, definitely Sun State School and the Florida Academy are participating, and their students come down and they do makeup for our masses. And this year, we're hoping that the Florida rep will be bringing some people down to help us out with some of our zombie walks and stuff. But basically, our people, our zombies of Fort Myers, they dress up and they participate. And the thing that we love is that the lines between spectacle and spectator are blurred. So it takes all of us together to make this big scene. And so I think that's also going to be a lot of fun with the movie contest or the film contest, is that, you know, these filmmakers get to enjoy the fact that there's so many people dressed as a zombie and participating.
Right. Well, and Janet, take us back to the, you know, inaugural ZombieCon event here in 2007. I know you were expecting maybe a couple hundred people.
Right.
That still surpassed expectations. I mean, did you ever imagine it would grow to be as large as it is now?
No. I really didn't. I just, with fads and things that go in and out, and zombies seem to be pretty tenacious. I mean, they are, they just don't stop coming, do they?
No.
And, I mean, just with the popularity of The Walking Dead on TV, it just proves that it's just, oh my gosh, I don't even see really where that is going to, you know, end or whatever. But, you know, we're going, this is our ninth year, you know, looking at a 10-year anniversary. And that's just incredible to me, actually.
And Janet, you're, you know, the mother of Fort Myers ZombieCon. How do you explain your personal love of zombies or fascination with the genre?
Well, I've always been like a Hammer horror kid. Grew up watching Creature Double Feature on a Saturday afternoon and Kung Fu Theater and those kind of like strange pop culture type of things. And so in 2007, the whole idea was really to have a dark art show and everybody dressed like a zombie, and started talking to Terry Tincher. He had a Space 39 gallery at the time, and talked to him about having the dark art show and everything. And he's like, you know, this should be more in the patio, and let's talk to the different bar owners and see if they want to participate and take over the patio with it instead of having it just in his gallery area. And so I'm glad we did. We had a band from New York come down, Project Vibe, that first year, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And we had a lot of people.
And, you know, let's not completely lose sight of, besides all the fun, this is a charitable event.
Yes. We started Pushing Daisies Charity in 2011. So basically, when we grew and grew with all these people, kind of with a common interest in one thing, and it was really art, and it was theater and music. You know, these are all the elements that happen at our event. So really, this is like our biggest art project as a bunch of artists and performers and people who brought this together. And so with all that attention, you have to do something good. So we decided to start the charity.
What kind of efforts does Pushing Daisies help support?
Well, right now, what we've done mostly is donate scholarships and things for we had a couple of kids go to the Florida Rep summer camp, theater camp. We've done some outreach with Blue Crayons. They do autistic outreach with kids, so we've done a little bit of musical outreach with them. We've given guitars to the Tabarini Foundation. We've also sent kids to the Southwest Florida Music Foundation over the last couple of summers. And so we just want to promote and facilitate art and music for every child, but every person too, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's our goal. And we go to a lot of different partnering events like Peace Day in the Park. We had the Kids Zone, we ran that, and we had spin art and things and interactive stuff and plant a seed. We'll have a Kids Zone at our event as well, starting at 4. So.
And I know there's some, I guess you could say, sort of tongue-in-cheek links to zombies when it comes to the charitable work, like the, you know, Lee County Blood Bank will be there.
Oh, yeah. We actually, the most amount of blood donated in like a single night event is ZombieCon.
Wow.
We've
really
set records. Wow. We've got a giving crowd. And the food drive, you know. And so we've always had those staples. So.
That makes sense. Zombies are hungry for brains. We got to feed the hungry in our community.
Gotcha.
Tongue
in cheek. Yeah.
Well, Hordes of the Walking Dead will once again invade downtown Fort Myers this Saturday for the 9th annual ZombieCon. We're taking a closer look at the event with organizer and founder Janet DeMarco. We're also exploring the history of the zombie genre itself, why it's remained so pervasive in our culture, and what's behind our fascination with zombies. Penn State English professor Dr. Peter Dendel joins us as well. I invite listeners to connect with our guests. Phone lines, rather, are open at 877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. You can send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or follow the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Dr. Dendel, let's bring you into the conversation. You specialize in folklore and medieval studies. How did the zombie genre emerge from folklore?
First of all, if I could just comment briefly.
Sure.
I love the 1985 Fallout theme, and this sounds like a terrific set of activities. I wish I could be there for it. And also, 1985 is just a really good year for other reasons as well. It reinvigorated, it resurrected a little bit the genre with three fantastic movies, Day of the Dead, which was already mentioned, mm-hmm. Reanimator, and Return of the Living Dead. Return of the Living Dead is the movie that inaugurated the idea that zombies eat brains, specifically.
Yeah, totally. I love that movie.
Oh, it's so good. And it also ends with a nuclear holocaust.
exactly.
As was mentioned also.
Yes, perfect.
For me, the connection is probably something, you know, general, like monsters, the monstrous in general, which kind of is almost definitive of medieval folklore. Templates on which we project our fears and anxieties, ways of defining ourselves against an other, which then changes from generation to generation, from century to century.
Right. I mean, I know you've cataloged and analyzed, you know, literally hundreds of zombie films. And, you know, I know it's possible to sit in and just kind of superficially enjoy them for the horror and the gore. But a lot of times there's a deeper subtext going on. You know, watching films like Dawn of the Dead or you know, more recent treatments like AMC's The Walking Dead, you know, I detect a good deal of subtext, even criticism of kind of modern day society. You know, even within the first season of The Walking Dead, by the end of it, the primary threat to the group of survivors that viewers are watching is no longer the zombies. It starts to become other people.
Sure. Ever since it came onto the scene in the 1930s, the zombie has been just a terrific metaphor for all kinds of different forms of depersonalization, alienation. So in the Depression, you can think of, well, you know, workers, idle hands, a sense of uselessness, of not really fitting in, having a place in society. On through the Cold War, where fears of, you know, communist subversion, that you can't trust the person next to you. You don't really know who is a communist and who isn't. Mm. And the sense of brainwashing, this fear of society being taken over and looking more or less the same, but having been stripped of its passion, of its soul. And skip ahead maybe to the Reagan years, where we are with the 1980s, a decade of excess, with zombie splatter, sort of bodies coming apart, the body fragmented, insides coming out, exploration of the biological aspects of it. Right, which brings us on down to the present, and like you say, The Walking Dead, for instance, which is terrific because it's really not really about the zombies much at all. It's about the human survivors and the moral choices they have to make in a post-apocalyptic world where there are no external authorities really or arbiters of morality. Everything has to be built up from scratch.
There was I think one in particular, and I wish I could remember exactly which film it was. It was one of George Romero's films where a bunch of the zombies just sort of ended up congregating at a shopping mall. And someone in the film kind of explained, Dawn. Like, that was Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like, when they were alive, this is just a place that people went. And so now that they're the Walking Dead, they just kind of go here because that's sort of something familiar. And it's kind of like this criticism on American consumerism and our materialistic culture. I wonder if a lot of these criticisms or subtext are intentional, do you think, on the part of the filmmakers? Or do you think as viewers we're kind of a lot of times drawing our own conclusions?
Oh, both. You know, both are obviously going on. It's hard to make a zombie movie without the levels of allegory, of a basic existential alienation at the heart of it. But, you know, what the zombie is has changed, especially in the new millennium. The traditional slow zombies, represented a threat of depersonalization, a loss of individuality, fear of social control, of brainwashing. It was an analysis of what's left of humanity if you strip away art, intellect, philosophy, all of the accoutrements of civilization, looking for a flicker of sentience, maybe at the heart of it, a flicker of soul or of memory. That's an ambiguous space which the movies play off of differently. And then you get into the new millennium, and now slow zombies are still around, of course, you know, Shaun of the Dead, but now we have the fast zombies, the enraged, viral, running zombies.
Right.
Like I think these come with a different set of metaphors. It's not so much a loss of passion and personality anymore, but a loss of control over those passions. It's an excess of self, as it were. I mean, not a mindless shell, not a hulk, but a brute creature of pure desire. Core animal instinct.
I noticed in some of the movies, though, like even if you go back to like voodoo, there was always the master that had the slave zombie, you know. And so I think, you know, that foreshadowing of like our culture, you know, going through the motions of going to work and not necessarily like thinking you're just going through the motions, you got to pay your bills, you got to do your thing, you know, has been, you know, something with zombie as well. But now, like even in Walking Dead just now and then Resident Evil, like the zombies being used as a weapon too. You know what I mean? Like there's those masters that are like they've created these zombies to attack other people. You know what I mean? So even on Walking Dead, it's like that's what some of these, you know, other humans I've noticed are using the zombie to get what they want from other humans, kind of thing. So,
yeah, that's an interesting point, Janet. Yeah, really, kind of comparing. I mean, I think the film you're talking about was back in the '30s, compared with the most recent.
I guess. I mean, voodoo. Like there was always like that soul box that had the person's soul in it, and then the zombie would come back. from the dead, but the person who did the voodoo spell or whatever had their soul in a box, then they were in control of this person forever.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, let's take a call from Valerie in Punta Gorda. Valerie, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm enjoying the show. My husband went to school in Pittsburgh, where he was a fan of Chili Billy, who was the host there of the local monster movie matinee on Saturday, I think. Anyway, he was a featured player in Night of the Living Dead, which we watch every year, and I wondered from your experts where Night of the Living Dead sort of fits into the genre of horror movies. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks so much for the call, Val. I really appreciate that question. I'm a Pittsburgh native myself, so I can tell you, for folks from Pittsburgh, Night of the Living Dead being filmed there is kind of one of our claim to fame.
Another zombie place to live.
But Dr. Dendel, yeah, I'd love to hear your response to Valerie's question. Where does Night of the Living Dead sort of fit in there?
It's really redefined the zombie of the recent generation. He made the zombies cannibals, in effect ghouls, before Romero, before 1968. Zombies never ate flesh or anything like that. Mm. He rid them of the shackles, as it were, of a voodoo master before that.
Right.
As was already noted, it's usually under the control of a voodoo doctor or something, and now it's something inherent, organic. Now, in Romero's movies, it's not just a contagion that spreads from one person to another. The phenomenon is that anyone who dies at all, from any cause, will rise. So that's a little bit different, but it raises some of the same questions. It took over the domestic space. It was set in this farmhouse in middle America and really brought out the metaphors that were largely implicit before then.
Right. Well, and I like that you brought up that concept of that film sort of making the distinction between, how one becomes a zombie. Is it in fact a pathogen? Because I know even the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have used a sort of zombie-like apocalyptic scenario in terms of furthering a public education effort on how we would deal with some future real pandemic. I was wondering, Dr. Dendel, are you surprised that the CDC officials would see the zombie genre as such an effective tool for that kind of public education effort, or do you think they're just kind of jumping on the bandwagon the way the rest of us have?
No, I think it was smart. I am surprised. You don't usually see a government agency, especially one entrusted with such an important mandate, be humorous or frivolous like that. But I thought it was a very successful experiment. It got a lot of headlines, and it got a lot of people going to that page and maybe thinking about it a little bit.
And Dr. Dendel, I'm curious about what accounts for your own fondness for zombies. It's obviously something you have a personal passion in.
Oh, sure. Well, part of it is probably just that, growing up watching late night movies, they're sort of fun. Monster movies are fun. And early on, I guess for me, the terror was always that the zombie is sort of stupid. It's not that strong. It doesn't have fierce talons or anything. It's fairly ineffective. But this is the thing: is that like the mummy, the zombie will never stop.
Right.
You have to stop. You have to go to sleep. You can keep running, but the zombie will never stop.
Right. Interesting, interesting. And Janet, I wanted to go back just to the ZombieCon event here for a moment. You had mentioned the Dark Arts show, and that's been an element of the event every year inaugural year.
Yep.
What is dark art? Is there such a thing as a definition, or is that really kind of up to the individual?
Well, I do believe that art is always up to the individual. It's up to the artist. It's up to the person looking at the art, their interpretation. It's one of those things, those two elements of the person who's observing, the person who's creating. Everybody's got their own opinion. But I think really what it is that it's always got you kind of thinking a little bit deeper on, that's just a little disturbing, or that might not be the happiest painting, or that might make me feel a little bit melancholy or, creeped out or something like that. There's just a little something to it. And I like it when an artist puts a little humor in it as well. There's been some pieces over the years that have just like made me, and just with the title, there's one called like the postman came to visit. And it was like a couple of cookbooks, and then there was like a skull and a couple of a spoon, and it was like an apron, you know. So it was like somebody's happy little kitchen, but there was the skull, and you know. So, but that the title with that imagery made me smile because it was a little dark, but it was funny in a twisted kind of way. So, but yeah, this year our dark art show is at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center. It is upstairs. And it's an amazing show. So I recommend if you haven't come to see the show yet, come on downtown. Friday is perfect because premature burial is going on at the same time in the Sydney and Byrne. And you can go on upstairs and check out the art. And there will be a closing reception and art talk with some of the artists on Tuesday, October 20th.
Okay.
And that will be our closing reception. Then you still have a chance to buy some art and enjoy that in your own home.
All right.
Support the arts.
And just to go over some of the particulars, you know, attendance, there is like a $5 suggested donation. There's going to be several different entry points since the streets are going to be closed down. How's
on
that
ZombieCon? Yes, on ZombieCon on Z-Day, which is this Saturday. Oh, my gosh. And yes, there are 6 entries into the city. And we ask for a donation of $5, and you will get a wristband with that $5. And we've partnered with many of the downtown businesses, and they'll have different specials going on. If you have that wristband and show your support, that would be great. We also have available a fast pass for $10. And you can get those at the Halloween Megastore. And if you want a fast pass and a T-shirt combo deal, that is $20. And we only have a certain amount of fast passes available. And I think they're going fast. So, and they're awesome. They have a cool little lanyard on it that says ZombieCon, and they're hard plastic, and they're collectors. So,
all right. Well, any last advice for folks to maybe get the most out of ZombieCon? I know one thing in particular that maybe had been an issue in the past was with the makeup, the dripping zombie blood. It creates a great effect, but not so great for the folks that have to clean the sidewalks in the streets.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, please, you know, put some blood on, let it coagulate and scab up. Don't go dripping around. Don't bring that gallon of blood to bring and share with your friends. They'll, you know, just kind of do up your makeup at our booths that we have there or at home. Take your pictures. And we also recommend, you know, as far as like cosplay, fake weapons. We don't want that downtown.
Gotcha.
So, you know, just, you know, give people the stink eye to do your your zombie killing.
Gotcha.
Point.
Gotcha. Moan.
Yeah.
Leech.
Moan. Yeah. But so you know, but participate, have fun. That's the point. This is for fun. It is not like Universal where you have like a haunted house or anything. It's
right.
Not like people are going out of their way scaring you. It is just
much
everybody.
More
communal. Yeah, it's everybody's together having a good time and enjoying the show that we've got going on.
Well, it is all the time we have for today's show, but thanks to my guests, Janet DeMarco and Peter Dendel. Great to speak with you both.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Janet DeMarco is the founder of both ZombieCon and the nonprofit charitable organization Pushing Daisies Incorporated. Dr. Peter Dendel, is an English professor at Penn State Mont Alto. He specializes in Old and Middle English literature. There's more information on today's show and past editions of the program online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. My producers are Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin. This is WGCU WMKO.